Welcome to the Ray of Hope Church podcast. We believe that hope changes everything, so get ready for an encouraging message from the Word of God. We pray that you would receive wisdom and revelation as you grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen, amen. Stand up with me. Thank you so much for being here. Look around. You're going to see somebody you haven't seen before. Yeah, both services combined this morning. We want to acknowledge that. And we've been doing some growing the last couple months, too. I was just now talking to a gentleman. He said, I've never seen him before. I said, well, great. We want a lot more people like that around here, don't we? Amen, amen. Hey, if you'd open up your Bibles, Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, we're going to begin our series, The Journey, and ultimately we're going to end up with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But today what I want to talk to you about is some must-haves on a journey, okay? Whenever you go on journeys, there's some must-haves. Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, we begin to see our Lord and Savior's journey begin. Now, we know that he's been called since he was, you know, because he's God, right? So we know that from birth. We know that at 12 years old, he was in the temple, and they said, who is this young man? Well, now he is in the wilderness. He's already been at the Jordan and everything that's happened there. Now he's going into the wilderness for 40 days of fasting as he begins what he's going to do in his life. And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil, and he ate nothing during those days. And when they had ended, he was hungry. I would be hungry too. How many of you guys would be? Yeah, let's be real now. Father, thank you for your grace, your mercy, your goodness. Speak to our hearts today, we pray. Illuminate it with your word, Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, everyone says, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Look at your neighbor and say hi. You might not know him. I didn't know you came here. I usually come to the 8:30 service. I'm so glad to see you. Well, we're glad to see you guys. Now, Richie already came up to me and said, now, Matt, you didn't have the first crowd to practice on this morning, so do a good job. I said, well, thanks for giving me that. That's all he gave me right there. But hey, as we talk about it this morning, it's interesting to me that we all go on journeys. Now, do you guys, how many of you guys family vacation? Show of hands, we're voting. How many of you guys go? Okay, one of the things that we love to do is go to vacation. And matter of fact, this summer we're going to the beach and we can't wait. We had such a good time last time we went, and Callie and I are beach bums. But even on vacations, those short journeys or long journeys, one of the longest journeys you can take is going all the way up in the north of Alaska and going all the way down and driving down through South America. It'll take like 30 days to do that trip. It's a really long trip. Maybe that's the kind of journey that we're talking about. But you pack certain things and you do certain things. Now, on a journey, this is what I know. There's always going to be feelings and emotions and all this type of stuff involved. Now, if I were to say how many of us love family vacations, most of us, if not all of us, would raise our hand and say, amen, we do. But there's something about being in the car or an airplane with an extended amount of time with your family that really tests who you are. Some of the greatest things in your life, and I'll say it for you so you don't have to, is that your family lives in a different town. I love it. I love to see you guys' reactions. Some of the husbands and wives are really like, that's right there, you know. We're not going to raise our hand, but that's true, right? This is one guy. He said, I take my children everywhere, but they always find their way home. That's good. That's good. There's two kinds of travel. So when you go on a journey, there's two kinds of travel. One is first class, and the other one is with children. Well, that's true right there. Okay. Now remember this though, when you go on vacation and you feel like losing your spirit, if you will, the mud will wash off, but the memories will last a lifetime. Isn't that true? That's very, very true. My wife warned me of that. I would go out fishing with Callie, and I would get mad because Callie wouldn't always do what I wanted her to do. And we were catching fish, and my wife had to remind me, Matt, you're not there to catch fish, you're there to catch memories. So make sure you act right. Yeah, I know, kind of got me right there in the heart, you know. I was like, well, happy new year to you too, Mary. So a road trip is always a way for the whole family to spend time together and annoy each other from interesting place to interesting place. One guy said this, he started out in Charleston, West Virginia, and went down to Tallahassee, Florida, and on his way he got to pass through West Virginia and Virginia, North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, and Florida. Said he had the time of his life, called his neighbor who lived in Texas, and he said, well, I took the same 12-hour trip and I didn't even get outside of Texas. Well, that's true, right? One of the most boring trips in the world. We were coming back down from Utah. You go from West Texas and you come to Duncan, and there's like a 3-hour stretch in there that's flat. like flat, you know, like the old joke, you can see your dog run away for 2 weeks. I mean, it's flat. I know y'all have heard that, but it's flat. There's not enough apps on the phone to do that. And then finally, you call it chaos, we call it our family vacation. How many can relate to that? Certainly you can. But anytime you go on a journey, a vacation, whatever it is, you have certain things that you pack. Certainly you don't pack your snow skis to the beach, or you don't, you know, if you're going up into the Colorado Rockies or Red River, New Mexico, wherever it is you go ski, you know, you pack the appropriate amount of things. And of course, kind of riding on the heels of Pastor's sermon last week, it was interesting because as I was researching what people take on a journey and how they go, it was interesting to me that they take stuff that will last. They take things that they own. They make sure that they have it all. They check and make sure that they have everything that they need. And then they also travel light. Now I'm going to let that soak in, because I want you to go back and listen to the 4 points of the message last week. And it's very interesting as I went back and compared that and compared to what people take on a journey. You know, we have to make sure that our hearts are right with Christ. Amen. We don't want to keep stuff that entangles us and pulls us down. And we want some stuff in our life, you know. You don't want to go out on a 30-day journey and have something that's not yours, because it's probably going to break and you're going to have to buy it anyways. You know? Well, it's the same type of stuff. As we're on our journey together and we're doing what God has called us to do, we want to do our very best to make sure that we're doing it His way. Now, Psalms chapter 39:12, here's some areas that will help us out. For I'm a sojourner with you, a guest like my fathers. And the psalmist helps us understand that even the people that were before us, they felt like they were sojourners. Congratulations if you're walking this journey with Jesus Christ and you really feel in your heart, man, the world is not my home. Congratulations. Because it's not, is it? This is not our final resting place. This is not where it all ends. Now, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13, strangers and exiles on the earth. 1 Peter chapter 2, 11 and 12, you can read that. But it says, beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles. And then Peter begins to go down. Psalms chapter 119, verse 19, I am a sojourner on earth. And then finally, in the words of our Lord and Savior, John chapter 15, verse 19, if you are of the world, then the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Man, that's some pretty tough words, huh? But it's the journey that we're on, and we're going to talk about the journey that Christ took. But one of the things that I want us to understand is there's some things that we can take along the journey that we have to have, because this is not our destination. This is not where we're meant to end up the rest of our lives, if you will. It is one day we'll spend eternity with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And I was going back, and no wonder the Bible tells us to be strong and courageous. It says to fear not. Paul reminds us that we can do all things through Christ which strengthens us. Why do we need to hold those things? Well, we need to hold those things because we do things differently here on earth, because we are not of this world, but we are in it. So we have a journey, and it should wake us up, and it should encourage us and inspire us that we don't live for ourselves, but we get to live for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We get to live with the Holy Spirit as our God. And it's what wakes us up in realizing that whatever we have to put at His feet in the suffering and the sacrifice, oh, one day, brothers and sisters, it will be worth it. One day. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well done, thou good and consistent. Well done, you did it my way and not your way or the world's way. Enter into your rest. We're sojourners, we're exiles, and we feel that way. We feel that. We look out and see the brokenness of the world. We look out and see how the world wants to look at marriage and how they want to raise their kids. We look out and we see all these things, and it causes us to lose sleep, and it causes us to hit our knees, and crocodile tears are coming down, and we're like, God, why do we feel this way, brothers and sisters? It's because we're exiles, we're sojourners, we're just a passing through. But we need some things to be successful as we pass through, because it's still our mission, it's still our passion. As we look in here and we see what Jesus Christ had, we understand some things that we need, because this is a journey to maturity. Here on earth, we're trying to do our very best to mature in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We should not be the same after 15, 20, 30 years of following Jesus Christ. Amen. Our emotions, our reactions, the things that we believe, it should be more that solid, firm foundation in our heart Let your kingdom come, let your will be done. Christ says that's how we're to pray. God, let your kingdom come. God, let your kingdom be established here on earth, because you're going to bring justice. And I want to give you encouragement. If you're one that's suffering some injustice, some heartaches, and you're wondering, God, will you ever deliver me? Listen, there will be one final thing, the crescendo, whenever Jesus does what he says he's going to do. Amen. Oh, but God, in the meantime, let your kingdom be established in my heart, God. As it is in heaven, let it be on earth. That means it's clear in heaven. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords, right? There is no discretion in heaven. Everybody wondering who's in charge, they know that Jesus is the King of kings, amen? And he's got a kingdom and he's got a set of rules. And if you don't do what he says, we'll just ask Satan, because he found out what happened. God, let it be established that way in our hearts. Because this world is not our kingdom. Don't let us bow our knee to it. Let it be so alive in our heart, no matter the cost, we follow you. It's a hard prayer. But God, let us make sure we do that. Be of good courage and fear not. But it's also a journey to eternity. Not only a journey to maturity, but a journey to eternity. And we're all on it together. And here's some must-haves as I look at Jesus as he goes out into the wilderness in Luke chapter 4. I see some must-haves. Now I will say this, that it wasn't easier for him, but I'm glad I have Jesus. How many of us are glad we have Jesus? Let me tell you, to make it on this earth in a journey that we're looking for, the first thing that you have, a must-have, is you must have Jesus. Hear my heart. Some of you know exactly what I'm going to say. But listen to me, you must have Jesus. You cannot be rich enough, you're not good enough, none of us are. It doesn't matter how your well intentions are, it doesn't matter how many round to it's, and I'm going to get to it someday, you have in your life. It doesn't matter how much good you do for the poor, it doesn't matter how excited you get when you see good things happening, you must have Jesus Christ in your life. And it's not just enough to have him, but he has lordship, amen? God, you are the king of the kingdom that I'm in. It has to be lordship. See, sometimes when we have access to something, we think we have it. Sometimes when we have knowledge about something, we think we have it. How many YouTube experts do we have here? Come on, you've watched a couple YouTube videos, now you're an electrician. Yeah. Yeah, you know what? I've watched Meat Church a couple times. I can tell you, man, I'm as good as that barbecue guy. In my backyard, on my little $500 smoker. But we think sometimes because we have knowledge about something that we have it. Or sometimes we talk about it. How many of you guys know some people talk, and they really think they've done something that they really haven't done? All they've done is talked a whole lot about it. Some of you guys work with people like that, and you're like, you got to stop talking and get to work, man. Sometimes we talk about it, or sometimes we have a little bit of interaction. We see that throughout Scripture. So many people had interactions with Jesus. Oh, man, they felt the presence of Almighty God. I mean, can you imagine the different stories when people are in a house, or they're sitting back and eating, and then they see a miracle take place, or they see somebody who's broken before Jesus, and they feel the presence of Almighty God. But it's not just enough to interact. How many of those people left the homes that Jesus was in, left the dinner tables, and never changed their life? Because it's not just enough to interact, and it's just not enough to acknowledge. Sometimes we think, well, I've acknowledged it. Husbands, help me out here. Do you acknowledge that you're sorry to your wife, or do you go ahead and prove it? Yeah, I'm going to help you out. That's an amen for some of you younger guys right there. You don't just look at your wife and be like, I know I did something wrong. See, I'm going to the golf course. I'm going to the fishing hole. You better figure out what it is, because fine is not fine. And we know that. Hey, that's marriage gold right there. But we think sometimes because we acknowledged it, and now all kidding aside, hear my heart. It is about surrender and lordship of Jesus Christ in my life. John 14:6, he answers the question. I am the way, the truth,
and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You don't give your way. You don't educate your way. You don't do any of that. You can come to church all you want, and I'm glad you're here, but it does not make you a follower of Jesus. I can stand in my garage all I want to, and I'm still not a car. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Must be saved. See, it starts with a prayer. Jesus Christ, I recognize that I'm a sinner. And this is the funny thing. When you begin that prayer, you don't even necessarily know everything that you need to know. You just know your heart's in the right position, that I need help. And according to your word, you're the only one that can help me out of my sin problem. There is no other name. There is no other way. I must have you. Then you begin to find out all the things that he died for us and he gave his life. But you can't stop there. I give you my heart. I give you my life. And God, I'm going to do this your way, not my way. Lordship. That's the only way this journey works. Acknowledging and all those other things, we must have Jesus. To be a little Southern, we all need Jesus. Or y'all need Jesus. I didn't want that to sound too bad. We've all seen those shirts. We're all in the same spot, aren't we? We need Christ. And let me tell you something. Whether you've been saved 2 minutes or 20 years or 50 years or 100 years, you're still going to need him. He is the deliverer. He's the only one that can take us out of the mouth of the lion. He's the only one that can deliver us out of the paw of the bear. He's the only one. Nothing else will do. We must have Jesus on our journey. We must surrender our heart and our life. Another must-have that we see in Scripture here is that we must have the Holy Spirit. I love Luke chapter 4, verse 1. And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned to the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness. Luke chapter 24, verse 49. And behold, I'm sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. It's amazing to think about the Holy Spirit in our life clothes us with power from on high. And that's not just so we can lay our hands on the sick and see them recover, see situations change, see God open up hearts and minds and doors. All of that stuff is absolutely true. But he also gives us the power to live morally correct in a morally bankrupt world. He clothes us with that power. If we say, Holy Spirit, open up my heart and my life. Baptize me, I pray. John 14, 15 through 16. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Now, that's a hard statement. But this is what he follows up with it and says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. The Holy Spirit is our helper. Oh, now listen, the first part of that, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. How do we know that we truly are falling in love with Jesus day by day by day? It's because we have it all figured out. No. It's because we're perfect. No. It's because day by day, the Lord's commandments become more and more and more and more important in my life. Myself is pushed down and the spirit man rises up. If you love me, you will do my commandments. But the good news is this. We're not by ourselves because he sent us a helper. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit of the living God. Now, this is what's interesting. So Romans chapter 8, verse 9. So Paul's talking back and forth here, and he says this, you, however, are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. That's a lot of faith. Have you ever talked to somebody, and you're like, I wonder if this dude is really operating like the way Jesus would, or if they're operating by themselves? I've talked to people like that. I'll raise my hand. If, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. See, he interchanges the Spirit of Christ with the Holy Spirit. See, we don't need to make this super difficult. There's one Spirit, one God. Okay? We don't need to make it that difficult. But this is what I love. As I was reading this and I was thinking about this, I was thinking about Jesus Christ is the only one who has permission to be full of himself. Think about it. Have you ever worked with somebody that's been full of themselves? Yeah. Jesus, being led by the Spirit and being full of the Spirit, went on his journey into the wilderness to where he prayed and fasted, and he was confronted by Satan time and time again. In this world that you and I live, in the journey that we are on, you have to understand this, that Satan is not a myth. Satan is not something that was designed to scare us into heaven. Satan is real, and he means to destroy your marriage, to destroy your life, to destroy your kids, to destroy this world. That's what he's about. He is our arch enemy, and we are not equal to him. But we have a Savior that is way more powerful than him. He's sitting down with his disciples, and they were saying, "Oh, Jesus, you sent us out, and we cast out demons, and we did this, and we did that." And Jesus looked at him and said, "So what is that to me? I saw Satan fell from heaven like lightning." I mean, that's who's on our team. I'm led by the Spirit. But the world that we live in, the Bible says that its God is Satan. He's the prince of the world. He has some control because people allow him to have control. How do we not allow Satan to have control in our lives? Let the Spirit be in us, and let's walk with the Spirit, and let it lead us. It's a must-have, this journey that we're here on earth, because Satan means to destroy. It's not a fable, some mythical character like the unicorn in a book somewhere that's trying to help our kids get ready that there's a mean world out there. No, there definitely is a mean world out there, but there is definitely a mean enemy that means to destroy us. And he knows that his eternal destination is in hell, and so does all of his minions. Well, what are you talking about, minions? Well, whenever Satan fell, the Bible teaches us that a third of the angels fell with him. Now, the question is, how many is a third? I don't know, but it's a bunch. And one guy in the Bible, there's 1,000 of them. That's a lot. So this is real, and we have to, we throw ourselves down, and we say, "God, now listen to me. Satan's workshop," hear me out on this, "Satan's workshop is self." Let me prove it to you. In Scripture, Jesus walks up to the Pharisees and Sadducees, and he says this, he says, "You doers of iniquity." He means you doers of self. Then he turns around and calls them, "You are from your father, the devil." And then he goes even further and he says, "And whenever you make a disciple, they're twice the sons of hell that you are." He didn't say, "You doers of lust, you doers of pride, you doers of all this stuff." He said, "You doers of iniquity," or "you doers of self." Whenever you're focused on yourself, that is where Satan loves to play. And the only way to fight self is not to be full of myself, not to be full of yourself, but let's be full of the Spirit of the living God. Let's be led by the Spirit of the living God. Why do we want to do that? Well, one of the things that comes to mind we see in Scripture is being filled and led by the Holy Spirit. It keeps us away, or it helps us, it keeps us from being led by self. Galatians chapter 5, verse 25, I love this. "If we live by the Spirit, then also let us keep in step with the Spirit." Dude, Paul was just right. Excuse me, you're not dude. Some of you guys are dudettes, okay? So, but Paul is writing exactly what he saw in his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Scripture says, being filled with the Holy Spirit, he was led with the Holy Spirit. So you and I are filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's keep in step with the Holy Spirit. We need your help, not step with self. Galatians chapter 5, 16 and 17. "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For those oppose each other to keep you from doing the things that you want to do." Upon the regenerate heart, it says, "Behold, we're a new creation in Christ Jesus." I was thinking about this morning. We're a new creation in Christ Jesus. That means if we've submitted our heart and our life to Jesus Christ, that means now we're a new creation. That means those new things are in us. We've just got to decide to build them or to build self. And in Scripture, it teaches us if we're going to build the things of God and build the things of His Spirit, that is contrary to the flesh. So if you're looking at this and saying, I'm trying to do this God's way, but I feel like doing this, you better take a step back. Because typically what we feel like doing is not what we need to be doing. Because it's contrary to the flesh. But this is what I do know. The more you feed the Spirit of the living God, and the more you do those type of things, the more those desires will begin to outweigh the other desires. Does that make sense? Then all of a sudden, this is how it'll come across. All of a sudden, you're feeding the Spirit that is connected to the Spirit of the living God that fills you and that leads us. And then all of a sudden, those other desires will stick up their head and you'll say, nope, that's camouflage. That's a trap. That's a snare. I don't want to be a part of that. That's not what God's telling me to do. But we only do that being filled because it leads us away from self. And one of the things that we struggle with, and we all struggle with, it doesn't matter, is we struggle with self. I was talking to my friend the other day, and I said, I'm perplexed because I read the Word of God and I feel this deep conviction in my heart, and if I'm not careful, sometimes it comes out that way, and I don't want it to come out as condemnation. And he gave me some of the best advice I could have ever had. I said, what do I do? He said, Matt, the only thing I can tell you to do is pray more. Because whenever you pray, and you pray that God will squash self and let your spirit rise up within you, that's the only way to defeat self, because you're not strong enough to defeat it within yourself. If you could, you would, but you're not. We all need a Savior, amen? The Holy Spirit also leads us to separation. Jesus was led in the wilderness. And this is what I'll say about this is very important. Led by the Spirit in the wilderness. This is not isolation, but it's separation. Okay, hear me out on this. The evil spirit, the spirit of the evil one, the Antichrist, Satan, the world, will want to get you isolated, okay? Because whenever you're isolated, he can tear you down and bust you apart, okay? We were talking in Sunday school about this morning, and you guys know the story. David is out on his roof, and he has sent the major commanders away from him, and even his servants, and now he is isolated on a roof. And then things begin to turn south real quick for him. Isolation is different than separation. Christ leads us, the Holy Spirit leads us to separation. We have to pull back from the world and say, God, this is a messed up place. That's the reason why Jesus tells us, let your will, let it be on earth as it is in heaven. Because God, I recognize that this is a broken place. I mean, we laugh about some of the things that we see, but let's get real. It is a broken, nasty place. Things that happen in the dark recesses of the world that we not know of should bring us to our knees and tears running down our face and saying, come, Holy Spirit, come quickly, we pray, God. Lead us. We separate ourselves, and the reason why we got to separate ourselves is just like in the physical nature. Whenever we take a bath after you've been out raking the yard or cutting down trees or whatever it is you do, you get out of that dirty nastiness and you separate yourself in the bath and you take a shower and you clean yourself. We clean ourselves by the washing of the Word, by just spending time with Christ. We renew our mind so we don't become like the world or transformed like the world. Instead, we transform by the renewing of our mind to become more and more like Christ. Our natural inclination is not to separate ourselves. In honesty, our natural inclination is to become calloused because it's easier. Our inclination is to stay put and say, God, I'm just going to let you handle it and maybe turn a blind eye to it. The Holy Spirit draws us out and says, it's time to separate. I'm calling you to a fast. I'm calling you to some prayer time. I'm calling you to read your word, which is really the third must have. We need the Bible in our life. Can I get an amen on that? Oh, we need the Bible. Now, it's funny. We need separation. How many of you guys have ever been on vacation with your kids? and you've looked at them in the back seat because they've been arguing or they hadn't been doing what you asked. You're like, listen, I'm about to leave you here and go back home. About to get some separation, aren't we? Or you're on vacation. Some of you mamas out there, one of the quotes that I read was about you mothers out there. It's like we go on vacation, but the mothers really don't get to go on vacation. They're too busy doing all the stuff that they need to be doing, making sure everybody else is having a good time. Then you catch yourself. Y'all go down to the beach. Y'all go out and swim. Y'all do whatever. I'm going to sit right here in my cabin and just chill for 2 or 3 hours by myself. Well, you don't want to be around family. No, I want some separation from you crazy people. Leave me alone. I'm perfectly fine eating ice cream or cake on the couch and watching a Hallmark movie in the middle of June. I'm okay with that. Or turning off the lights and drawing the curtains and nobody knows I'm here. Separation, it's a good thing. But also the Word of God in our life. The must-have is the Word of God. It is written, verse 4, verse 8. It is written, verse 12, it is said. All times that Jesus came toe-to-toe with the devil, he didn't say this. You know, the ancient philosopher Satan said this. He didn't look at Satan and say, hey, you know what my rabbi taught me? You know what my teacher said? He didn't look at him and say, hey, Satan, there's this one time I was reading the scroll. In the modern day, see, that's what we have a habit of doing today if we're not careful, because we don't make the Word a primary. It is primary. Satan begins to attack us, or we begin to see the filthiness of the world, and we say, and the only thing we have to think back is to the latest podcast that we listened to. So we stand toe-to-toe with evil, and we say, listen, in the latest podcast, it's not going to work. Or my favorite preacher said... Or hey, there was this self-help book that I was reading one time, Satan, and it said if I spin around 3 times and throw some money in the air, it's going to be okay. He didn't even look at him and said, you know what, Satan, it has been sung. He didn't say that. It has been written. I was listening to some of this it wasn't really a commentary, but it was a guy's point of view. And he simply said, I wonder how many times we do that type of stuff. And Satan looks back at us and said, I know what you're quoting to me because I wrote it. Because when any of those facets are written in self, they don't do you any good against Satan. It is written. We have to have the Word of God in our life, in our separation, in our pull out. Whenever we go to our spot, whenever we do what God has called us to do, we break out the Word of God and we begin to read it. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof and correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped to do every work. If you read that scripture backwards and you take out what Paul is trying to say, and we don't have the Bible in our life, all of a sudden we're incomplete people. We're not equipped. We're not trained in righteousness. We're not corrected. We don't judge ourselves correctly. And we are not taught correctly. And then the very beginning of that verse says this, for God and profitable. If you want to be profitable for the kingdom of heaven, the Bible is the sole authority to do that. If you want to be profitable in the world, if you want to be profitable with friends, if you want to be profitable with heathens, you don't have to have the Bible. If you want to be profitable in the kingdom of God, it is written. I have to know that. So I do my very best to go back and study the Word of God, the living Word of God that is sharper than any two-edged sword. It really reveals to me where I need to be. It's interesting, this morning we were talking in Sunday school class, and this is where I'll end. Saul, one of the great kings of Israel that later kind of went bonkers. I was thinking about him the other day, and I was thinking about how whenever David shows up to fight Goliath, and we all know that scene pretty well, Saul was in the right place because he was out with his men fighting the battle. But if you read scripture, it says that all the men of Israel were afraid of Goliath. It shows that his heart was not in the right spot. He didn't think his God was big enough to do it. Position was right, heart was wrong. David comes out and slays the giant. Now we fast forward and we see David being king of Israel. David, as I alluded to before, is out on the roof, sees Bathsheba. And all of a sudden, and this is what's crazy, because even after that, it was written this, that David was a man after God's own heart. But see, what the problem with David, if you read Samuel there, it says this, that when the king should have been out at war, David was at home. Heart was in the right spot, position was wrong. We have to line ourselves up. It's my heart and my position, God, for you to do something. On the journey that you and I are in and on together, and we will stand accountable for God one day, it's about positioning and heart. God, I'm going to position myself. Christ, you're first. Holy Spirit, I'm going to lean into you. The authority of the word guides my life. But God, help my heart line up whenever you reveal something in my life that I have to change. Because God will not leave you like he found you, but your heart has to be in the right spot. I have to be in the right position. I have to separate myself. I have to be willing to be led by the Spirit of God. I have to make sure that Jesus is not an afterthought, but he is the primary thought of my life. It is not, will this help me? It's what does the Bible say about it? And then that's where I make my judgment. What would Jesus say about it? Holy Spirit, are you leading me? Because we all have a journey that we're going on. And we're going to arrive. And it's a journey to eternity. Spend eternity with Jesus Christ, or the real place that's hell. It's not just about acknowledging Jesus. It's about, Jesus, you have lordship over my life. But for us as believers who have done that, know that we have the must-haves to be able to make this thing successful. That way, what Paul wrote to Timothy, that we could be profitable for the kingdom of God. Oh, we could stand before our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he looks at us on that day of judgment. And he sees that he was the primary number one in our life. That it was his spirit that led us. Oh, we're not going to do it perfectly, but he sees the heart. And that we go back to his word time and time again and say, God, I don't care what culture says. I don't care what the world says. I don't even care what close friends say as much as I care about what your word says. It's a must have. It's a commitment that we all must have to make. Would you guys stand with me all over the building?
We are so thankful you joined us today. We would love to hear from you at rayofhopepodcast@gmail.com. Let us know how you were encouraged and how we can pray for you. Remember, Christ in you is the hope of glory, and hope changes everything.